Friends, I'm turning this morning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. And our sermon, our title this morning is The Great Gathering. Our gathering together unto him. The Great Gathering. Friends, we all know that there are so many gatherings in this world. We have so many times of gathering together as a people. So, the text that we just read, there are three words that need the attention of everybody, wherever you may be, which is our gathering together. Our gathering together. This is going to be our thinking for this morning, as I've already said. If you look at the verse 1, if you go back to verse 1 to throw more light on the chapter 2, if you go to chapter 1, you see that Paul, Timothy, and Silas, they wrote to the people of Thessalonica. And they began by giving thanks to God for the people of the Thessalonians. If you read the verse 1, you see that it says Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians. In God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you. So you see that right from the beginning, we are thanking God for the people of Thessalonica. Why were they thanking God for them? They mentioned how grateful they were that their faith in God was growing immensely, because they have been there, they have seen their faith, which was growing tremendously in the land. And they try to attribute this to the love which they showed among themselves as brethren. And that's how come the faith was spreading. Then in verse 4, the men also said that they appreciated the perseverance and faith shown by the followers. Because there were persecutions at that time, as we have persecutions in our times. The churches were being persecuted, and yet their faith was growing. So they said even though the Christians' faith was suffering persecution, they stood firm and they continued to show their love towards God. And then if you read from the verse 5 to the end, you see that they stated that they knew the judgment of God was good. We explain why they saw the judgment of God being good. And they also said that those who remain true to the Lord will be with him in his kingdom. And then I'm just giving a summary of verse 5 to the end. Even though they may suffer during this life, as we all know, Christians do suffer. Suffering is part of the Christian work. So, even though you suffer in the present time, you receive a reward in the life after. This is basically what they were telling the people of Thessalonica. Those who cause the believers harm to also be punished by God. They will see the wrath of God. Those who persecute them, those who trouble them in whatever kind of way, they will also see the wrath of God when the time comes. So this is the background of the chapter 2 that we are going to deal with today. They actually go on to say that God's judgment will occur with Christ when Christ returns. He told them that the judgment of God that people have been talking about will occur to come when Christ returns. And those who have rejected God will be punished. At this time, this rejection is a very serious thing. People who reject Christ. Look at God sending his own son to come and die for us. You see, nobody else could take our sin apart from God himself coming in the form of man to die, to go through persecutions and sufferings and die. And you rejecting it, it's a very serious thing. So those who reject Christ will be punished when he comes. Sometimes, the other time I was telling the brethren when I heard somebody preaching about this rejection. And instead of warning the people about rejection of Christ, they were rather dwelling on rejection of man. When man rejects you. That's not what the Bible is saying. It is when you reject God, it's a very serious thing. And in the end, you will see the suffering and the wrath of God as at the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the words are our gathering together. Come to our verse for today, our gathering together. These are words, as I've said, it needs a response for everybody, every part of this world. People must respond to this. People must hear. The gospel must go to people. We always say that when we talk about the gospel, any gospel that does not include warnings is no message. The gospel must talk about sin, death, and judgment. That's what we call the gospel. It's not assuring people and giving them vain promises. It's telling them the truth about life. We were born in sin. Not until we are liberated from that sin, we are regenerated, we can never get near to God. And there's a time coming when the Bible says there will be the wrath of God, which will be revealed when Christ comes. In the same way as he came first, he will come again. He will surely come. But when they come, that will be the time when all these things will happen. Like I said earlier on, we know that we have gathering together in this world. I mean, human beings, we are social beings. Nobody wants to be alone. We always want to gather with people. That is why we have people gather together during Christmas, Easter, and other occasions where you see your family and your friends, those that you haven't seen for ages. That's the time that you see them. Nobody wants to be alone. So, and in our part of the world, we know of funerals and festivals and family meetings and so on, that we all meet and then get together as one people. And then we have also other gatherings, like end of year parties in workplaces and so many gatherings in this world. But Easter and Christmas are the particular ones that are very common everywhere. Like I said, it's that time that you see your friends and your loved ones, people you haven't seen for ages. But there's one thing about this gathering in this world. We know gathering together is a very good thing because it brings brotherly affection and the love towards each other. But the gatherings in this world is different. Sometimes the gatherings sometimes even turn into fighting. There are some parties that have turned to be nasty and a whole lot of things. Gatherings that we gather in this world, it's not all of them that are trouble-free. Some of them, there are trouble. Some of them, there are a lot of things that happen during all those gatherings. So we, in short, we are saying that there's no unmixed pleasure about any every gathering. Any every gathering that we have its advantages and then disadvantages. But there's a better gathering that is yet to come. And that's what we are talking about today. There's a better assembly which will outshine all the assemblies, all the gatherings of this world. The Easter and the Christmas and the other social functions that we attend. There's a better gathering that is more than this. And this is the gathering we are going to talk about this morning. It will be a gathering of true Christians, which is to come. It's true Christians. When I say true Christians, people who have genuinely repented of their sins and ask for forgiveness and they've been forgiven. People who are born again, who have been given new hearts. These are the people who are going to be gathered together. And I baby, I hear fire seminary for you here. Thessalonica 4, Enguma, Etosumienu. Na Ehono, Ena, what she say, Paul, any Silas, any Timothy, I'm sure, Sakrati. Na some of Mokano, Nipo Nani say, and maybe the bar in Shiemubi Ebebasso. In Shiemubi Ebebasso. I send Shiemuno, no say Ebebasso, Abra, yes, to Bebano, yes, to bar, and I send Shiemuno Ebebasso. Na American answer, my chair say, a year Simon, you won't Shiemubi Bray, growing your drug, your night, it missia, near ni Adolfo, near Nianum, near Yagiani, your Easter, and also, sir, a year bar, Amamre festivals, and also bar, sa you won't share more Isia. But the American is saying, share more Isia, and you broke Isia, and she's not going to quack. Yes, she has here, you know, but it will be anonymous, sir. Not assembly will be kind of assembly, and not woeful, not according to quack. Nemo mu ye won hie mu bia ebe basoa eni de ye sonko kra sen hie mu nu ho asem nu ena anope ye pese ye ka ena meze me chese sen hie mu nu omo ebe basen hie mu nu bie ni ye omo a ya ho ho makoma ho ye nyina ye wo ye bonim obia wa wo wa dem bia na ya wo bonim ntuntimi nkosan hie mu ni bi agisi ya hohro ho ni bele dia hohro ho agisi wa gi yesu wadi no apae mu aka na ya de boni akyew na ya ma wa fofro wo sa nipa no na betimi aba saa enhie mu ni bi. So it is a gathering of true Christians which is to come. But what is it? What is this gathering, and when shall it be? When shall it take place? And like I said, the gathering shall take place at the end of this world. This world will come to an end. Don't believe those who don't believe in the world, this world that has come to an end. It will come to an end. That's what the Bible says. And this gathering will take place when the world comes to an end. The moment Christ returns onto this earth, that will be the end of this world. And then, as soon as Christ comes, the first thing he will do will be the gathering of his people. So, in the same way as Christ came, surely as he came first, he will surely come. So bear it in mind. Don't let anybody deceive you. Christ will come again. And when he comes, that will be the day of judgment. That will be the day of gathering all Christians together. Matthew 24 verse 31 says, "And he shall send," that is Christ, "he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Matthew 18:9. Now, what will be the manner of this gathering? This manner is plainly revealed in Scripture. So let's see what the Bible says about this gathering. How will it be? The manner in which it will be. First, the Bible says that the dead saints shall all be raised, and the living saints shall all be changed. When it says saints, we are talking about those who have been forgiven of their sins, who have been born again before they died. And he said, on that day, both the saints and the wicked will be raised. Mind you, everybody will come out again. But then, the saved unto Christ and the unsaved unto the hell. So there will be another resurrection. People will come out of those who died. And then those who are not dead by then will be changed. Because mortality cannot inherit heaven. They have to be changed from mortality to immortality. And that will happen on that day. Let's see where it is explained in the scriptures. Revelation 20 verse 13. It said, "And the dead and the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works." Those who died in the sea, those who died naturally and were buried, they all came up. And then they will be judged. When you say according to their works, let me explain to you, it is not, nobody can work to satisfy God. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 64 verse 4 that even your good works are like filthy rags before God. He is talking about those who have given their life to Christ. Those who, when God, they appear before God and God asks them, "Why should I ask and allow you to come into my kingdom?" They can say, "Because of Christ, not because of me." They are the ones that he's talking about. That is their work. Whilst you are on earth, make sure that you and Christ are one. You have believed in him. You have given your life to him, not your works. As for works, no work. Nobody can work to satisfy God. Nobody can be like Christ anyway. And that is the standard. So no, nobody can be there. Then let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Then if you go to verse 17, "Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the cloud, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." This is what we normally call the rapture. If it was a teaching service, I would really try to explain what all this means. But we'll have another time where we can deal with the rapture, going to meet Christ in the air, and all those things, what they mean. Then when we come to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We shall all be changed at that hour within the twinkle of an eye. 52 said, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We need to be changed before we can go to where Christ is. And then every member of Christ will be found wherever you will be. And then your soul and body will be joined together again. Then we will be with Christ wherever he is going to be. So there shall be a grand gathering. It's to be a great gathering all together in the whole world. So the now only Jesus intend mo etie. Ena na meka se se yeka se unyuma. Enye se unyuma se o papa ye. Npa ebe ye papa. Obo ko som bo som. Enso ye papa. Onye sa ni ma ni ma nipa ebe boni npa ebe onye bi. But will he go to heaven? No, because he is not coming through Christ. It is only through Christ, because nobody can work his own righteousness. So when I say papa, I mean kase bi a wanka sa o papa ye wa ye. Npa ebe ebe ni sa. Se ye call asem kan. Wishi obi nan de kan so omi de menye obi aboni bia me yadoye pa me che nipa niema. So people think when they are kind to people to qualify them to go into the kingdom. No, it is not true. The only way out is to give your life to Christ and let him dwell in you. So when you appear before God, God sees you as Christ and not as you. And this is say no me chese de ekwa no ebe faso a obeye that day no edrua sa obi ogu bia no ebe sorry. Na afina na ye bibu nten oti ase na odo okra ma Yesu ana se na wa oti ho so e na wo ye de ope eno ni enyima no. Now we have talked about the manner. Let's come to the object, the objective of this gathering together. That is also clearly stated in the scriptures. First, it is partly for the final reward of Christ's people. Remember, I've said that Christ himself said we will go through tribulation, who will suffer in this world. To serve Christ is not easy. There will be temptations, a whole lot of things. But we need to bear that one day, all these things will be things of the past. And that is what, that day, the reason for the gathering, one of them, is a reward for all Christ's people, where we have been in this world. Then our justification will be declared. We are only justified because of Christ. That is why we call it justification. Even though you are guilty, because of Christ, you are not guilty. Because he has paid the price, the penalty for your sins. So that day we will be rewarded as part of the objective of the gathering. Now we are going to see all the promises that Christ gave us. He said, I go to my father to prepare a place for you. There are so many mansions. That's the day we will see all these mansions and the glory that has been reserved for us from the foundation of the world. So on that day, it will be a safety for Christ's people. The gathering will be a safety for Christ's people. At that day, no, ebeye ase bebe aye dwane akohinta. He said, asem kese bi na eba, e wiase eba be sei. All the time, that is what God has done. Before destruction, he takes the people out. And that is the reason why this gathering is going to take place. We have similar examples in the Bible. Let's talk about Noah. Noah preached for 120 years, warning about the coming flood. People thought he was mad. All sort of things were said about Peter, about Noah. In the end, it happened. And it was too late for those who wanted to rescind their decisions. It was too late. Because it was only those who were in the ark that were saved. And how many of them? Only 8 souls. They are the ones who heard the message of Noah and entered into the ark. And they are the only ones who were saved. Now let's look at Lot. When the angels had to drag him to Zoar for safety, because Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be burnt completely. So you see what the angels did. They had to go and warn Lot and actually drag him. That is why we say to come to God, it takes God himself to draw you. Even Lot, after seeing all those things, wanted to look back, but they had to drag him and take him to a safety place before the fire started coming. We can also talk about Rahab and her family during the fall of Jericho. We saw what happened because Rahab believed in the messengers that were sent to go and spy the place. And that belief was counted to her as righteous. And he was promised that herself and the family would be saved from the destruction of Jericho. And it happened. None of her family got hurt. So all these things that we are talking about is for our safety. Christ is going to take us to safety and then destroy the world. So that is one of the reasons why the gathering will take place. So that Christ's people will be hid and covered before the storm of God's judgment actually comes to the wicked. So if you are a saint, if you are a believer, this should be comforting to your soul. You don't have any fear because the gathering is for your safety. But if you have not given your life to Christ, and mind you, this thing can happen even today, because Christ said, the day and the hour nobody knows. It will come as a thief in the night. And we all know that people can also die. And any of these two that happens, that will be the end. So you have to make sure that whilst you are alive today, you make sure when that day comes, you will be counted among those who are going to be gathered together. So saints, they will have no cause to fear on that day. But those who have not given their life to Christ, they have to fear. Saints will be hidden in the secret place of the Most High, and then the end will come, the destruction will come. Isaiah 26 verse 20 says, come my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself as it were for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. We saw that in Egypt, when the angel of death was passing the Passover, they were asked to sprinkle some blood on the front of their doors so that the angel will pass by them. The same thing, we are going to be gathered into safety so that the judgment, the storm that will come, will not affect us. Now we have seen the manner and the object, the purpose of the gathering. Now let's look at the gathering itself. Let's describe it, how the gathering is going to be. As we know, it is a gathering of all Christians, wherever they are in this world. There are many, many people who have not even up to today heard the word, and they are part of the gathering. So it will be a great gathering, a gathering of all people, all children of God who have ever lived. Remember, it's from the day of Abel up to the last born when Christ comes. These are the people who are going to be gathered. There are people who are not yet born as we speak today, and if by his grace it doesn't come before they will be born, they will also be part of this gathering. People of all tongues, all nations, all churches. There are even people in churches where the truth is not being preached, and yet God will drag them. They are everywhere that God's people are, they will be dragged into that garden. So it will be a great garden. The weakest, the feeblest, the strongest, the rich, the poor, all will be gathered together. Now, Christians are called little flock because you don't see us. You don't see all Christians. And even now, when we talk of Christians, unlike the days of the Jews, where we know Jews were the chosen people. Everybody knew them, the Jews. Now everybody say they are Christians. But in their hearts, it's something different. So we can't know the true Christian. But on that day, even though now they call us a little flock, on that day, God said to be a multitude, which no number, no man can number. So it will be a great, 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 great gathering. A big gathering that you have never, never experienced before or can even think of. And the gathering also, number two, will be a wonderful one. To be a very wonderful gathering. The saints from distant lands who had never known each other. Now we know there are people somewhere who have believed the word and have been changed, but we don't see them. But on that day, we will meet all of them. People from Australia, people from England, from America, from Asia, from wherever. And we all come together and be as one people. It will be a wonderful, very, very wonderful gathering. And now, on that day too, one common thing that we will see is that we all speak one language. We will all speak one language. Remember, before the Tower of Babel, they were speaking one language until God confused them. On that day, it will come back again. But all those people who have met together will speak one. We understand ourselves as true Christians who have been brought forth by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The gathering will also be a very humbling one. There will be no racism. There will be no kind of narrow-mindedness or anything. We shall all be very humble people. It is only the humble people who will be saved. That is why we say humility is one of the signs of true conversion. If you are proud and you say that you have been saved, your salvation is questionable. Everybody who has been saved is humble. You will be humble. So that gathering will be a humbling one. There will be no racism or people thinking that they are higher than the other by their qualifications, by their status in this world, by their social standing. No, it will be a very humbling one. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject unto one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisted the pride, and giveth grace to the humble." It is only the humble who will be given grace. So, that day, the gathering will be a gathering of humble people. It will be a very humble one. It will be a mighty, wonderful gathering. You see, that nobody can even think about. It's never like anything that we have seen before in our lives. So the hour comes, and it will soon be here. Like I said, nobody knows how long it's going to be take, but we know that it won't be long, and that gathering will come. But the camera church said the inshemunu ebeye, any dintia inshemunu eba, dintia eba, and they say, "Nyango pompe se ni nipa na omudu amu huamanu no." Will you be free or say na ebebanumu and sana or say ye no aba? Nyango pompe sana tem bia oye, ewo Bible mu. And I'm the camera can say, "Noah time no, Noah, in fear or honey edunu, na or the man nipa, or the boy nipa koko." Say, in su be to, afe nipe nina, in ti, ubia nyani meshe. Eshena, wama nuwa ayenu. Niko fuo di nuwa tem. Kwa fuo esu wa bodam. Elisu wa esi. Ubiye muyano. Enipa ngwa chipe. Ende kwa shie saa. Eshenu. Ampeni ampa insuo nubai. Eto yilife yuya sinyi na. Enipa ngwa chine nkwa ana. Esi vumi. Ebiye nkisiya ye wumi. Yesu asemi kani yeka. Yesu kiso bako yeno. Yekobe 2000 years ni. Ye pichi asemi ne pichi. Ebiye nme pimu omakuma. Ebiye nmukwa ansuwa. Omwa jiatu munu ansuwa. Omo agya to mu fete de omo kasa epe omo mfa nyakopon kwa ne so enti saa ne beye nyakopon ebeyi ne krofo na be gya to mu pa ne afrim na fe de se de insuo ne ba ye de ne beye gya odi ejaba e de abeshi yen saa so na Lot eye Abraham ne ofa ase no ano oni ne wona akopon tena Sodom and Gomorrah no so the same thing bra na asobofo no ebe se Sodom and Gomorrah no omo ko yi ni firi ho e de ne ko ba biye ne firi ho zoa ho no mde ne ko sieye ena ejane ba ya ebe shi omu nyina nti enu bi na sisi ya oba be ya amaye no oba yiye free sa o se ye ne be ba nimu na that day no ba anka ye na msa so ma example of rehab ye o ba bi a na o Jericho ebre na gifu onu ebe ko onu mu akofa oma anu omo suma ni pa so omo ko spy omo he said o ma ni mitie ewura we even though ne bi nso were positive onu so na o gi omo edu omo sie ye e ma microphone nya omo nkom nti omo show mbo se Tombe seje rikwa oni nebusuafo mbe yoma frim ampeni apanso omo yoma frim asa na omo se Jericho enti enu be bebe na ebe nyakopon be ebe yi omo ade ne ho amanu pa ne frim ansa na eja no aba ena misa so kan wo se ebe ye enhiemu bi enipa ebe ho nyina ye nipa omo hojo enye nipa omo ye ahomaso wo ye ahomaso a na akase onya enkwaje a enye no kre ebi se and kwagie no omonye kwagie no science enema ebekye se omonye kwagie no ebi ne se owo onya homaso no bre ne ho ase iti sad danu eba sa inshemu na ebi chia ne nipa omo bre omo ho ase enye nipa omo ye proud omo di wiase we no achichi omo ho inti no ebe humbling one ebe ye omo a omo do omo amenyankopon ya se omo akoma no omo akoma so ewofo enti no ebe ye nhiemu a ebe ye obi a ye nokre nko a ni obi odina no keke na eka obi a ye nokre se odi no ho ama onyankopon ena medika kan se sa enhiemu na ebeba no enye enhiemu a ebi esi wo sa se wiase we muda na meka se sie no ekisofo nyina no ye wo bebi bebi ebi wa sori ha ebi wa sori foforo ebi kwa nkremofo eso da de enudru a asam na ebeba no obetwo mo efri ho ede omo aba ye nyina be fri bebi bebi bebre ene aba abeye baako na fe de wodi nyina abom na wodi asie ansana wama ijano aba intino sana ebeye ewo yensu ye time. The gathering will be of true Christians. There will be no hypocrisy. There will be no false teachers. Like I said, right now you can see true Christians. But everybody says they are Christians. People are calling themselves prophets. When the Bible is saying that we don't have prophets in our days, people are doing all kind of signs and wonders. When we are in the gospel age, we have to preach the gospel for people to repent and turn to God. That is all we are doing. And yet, even now, talk about Christianity. And they are the ones that people know. Those who are prophets, they are the ones that people think they are true Christians. So that day, the true Christians will be shown. We'll know who are the true, who are really, really working for Christ. Because when Christ said, he said, we should go and preach the gospel. We should go and preach the gospel. So those who are preaching the true gospel for people to repent, they are the ones who are true Christians. And that day will come. I just want to read a quote from one of the reformers. He said, "Wherever on that day, wherever there's wheat, they are sure to be tares. Wherever there are good fish, they are sure to be bad. Wherever there are wise virgins, they are sure to be foolish. There's no such thing as a perfect church now." See, now you can never point to a particular church and say this is a perfect church. Wherever God's people are, the devil also has his own people. You see, there's a Judas Iscariot at every communion table and a demons in every apostolic company. And wherever the sons of God come together, Satan is sure to appear among them. Here he quoted Job chapter 1, verse 6. So now you can see the true Christians because we are all, but on that day, Christ knows his people. And people who really have been saved to know from their heart, their conscience being witness to them, that they have given their life to. That is why Paul always said that we should look forward to that day. Because it will be a day of blessing to the true Christians, but a day that will be terrible for those who have not given their life to Christ. Another thing is that the garden will be a meeting at which none shall be absent. No one who has been saved will be absent. We shall all be there on that day. And we'll see all the patriarchs, the prophets, the apostles that we hear of. Talk about Abraham, Moses, Jacob, Isaac, David. We shall see all of them. All those people, we shall see them. And then we shall see, even in our times, the apostles, the martyrs, the missionaries, the reformers, the Puritans. All of them shall be there. People that we have heard about Spurgeon, we haven't seen him before. We have heard so many people, but on that day, we shall see all. You can imagine meeting Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Daniel, all the people, and talking to them. They're giving us their experience. Because you see, in their time, it has always been by faith. Salvation has always been by faith in Jesus Christ. Those who died at that time, they believed in the coming of Christ. And it was counted to them as righteousness. We, our time too, we didn't see Christ. We also believe that he has come. And we believe in all what he has said, and we are expecting him again. So on that day, it will be a very great experience when those people, the prophet that we are reading their words and their words in the Bible now, will now see us face to face. I have a chat with us. And then we'll be talking about our experiences and their experiences. It will be a very, very great, great day. It will be a very, very glorious church that will be. You see all the perfect people coming together and then being as one people. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 27 talks more about these things. And another thing is that the gathering will be a very pleasant one. It shall be better than any other gathering. So we have to know that on that day we will be part. That is the most important thing. even though it's good to talk about the manner, the object, and the reason and everything, the most important thing is, will you be part? Because anything that is done by God is obviously perfect and is good. But will you be part? And are you looking forward for it? You can judge by yourself now. Which gathering do you enjoy now that you are? Is it a gathering of true Christians or a gathering of politicians or footballers or entertainers? Which gathering do you really, really like as you are living now? You can check yourself and see where you belong. In the last place, the gathering of all Christians shall be a meeting without a parting. In our normal meetings, when we come, oh, hello, 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 before we realize it's goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. On that day, it's not going to be that. We are all going to be together forever and ever. It will be a very great, gathering. Because of we are living in a world that is doomed because of the cares of this life, the demands of our families, of our works, and so on. We can't stay for long. Every gathering is short. But on that day, the gathering will be a gathering forever and ever. Another quote by another reformer, he said, "But blessed be God, it shall not always be so." That is talking about the gathering, the gatherings that are short. Ours will never be so. Or see, when the hour comes and shall soon be there, when goodbye and farewell shall be worse, that are laid aside and buried forever. When we meet in a world where the former things have passed away, and there is no more sin, no more sorrow, no more poverty, no more work or body of works of brains, no more need of anxiety for families, sickness, pain, old age, death, and change. All these things we have. This is where this gathering, these are the things that will be in the gathering, compared to any gathering in this world. But for now, our gatherings, our interests have always been political gatherings. Let them start election right now. See the people who are trying to political campaigns. Go and see football, entertaining. You see a lot of people there. But that's not the kind of gathering. All those things will be passed. There's a gathering that is forever and ever. So now, the question I'm asking this morning is that, and it's a question that nobody can turn away. You have to face it. Shall you be gathered together or be left behind? Check your heart. Sincerely from your heart, will you be gathered together or you'll be left behind as you sit here right now? This is what you must think of. No matter how the gathering will be, will you be part? Have you given your life to Christ in sincerity? Are you sure that you are born again? There are so many signs of true conversion that you can learn from the Bible. If you are truly saved, are you one of those people who have given their life to Christ and Christ has changed them? Is your outlook changed in life? Is everything about you? Are you a different person from what you used to be? These are questions that you must ask yourself. So to know, where will your portion be on that day? Where will you be? Will you be with those that have been gathered, or you'll be left behind? It's a serious question. And everybody must be able to answer. Think about it. Every morning when you wake up, you have to ask yourself, if today will be that day of gathering, where will I go? Where will I be? And if you can't say yes, thank God you are still alive. And there's time for you to make a change. The American said, Sir, in Shemuno, as I say, Obiano, Ubisa, and who say, in Shemuno, Mekobiana. When you say, there's some Presbyterian song. I say, oh, kwa ube, and my ben of dinwum. Maybe you have been going to church and coming. Is your name in the book of life? Ask yourself, is your name in the book of life? The most important thing is your name being in the book of life. Udin was hang man be. As that an eba, obeka idipa, yebe for una konhuana. So what do you mean for saying, si ubun can say me kahu be, and I just unkobi no. It will be obeko biano. It means master winim. I didn't say we're too kind. I call baby, maybe I'll call America, and I say England. Who knows if you give visa? What do you mean could now one can say me, they mean could give visa? They will be drew home no more. The American immigration will be a no marker. Nobody will do that. You will make sure you have your visa, you have your ticket. And that's what it takes to come to go. Are you sure that on that day when you come and meet God, and God asks you, why should I allow you to my kingdom? You can say to God that because I gave my life to Christ, and I'm coming because of Christ, not because of me. Because me, there's nothing good in me. Can you say that to God? If you can't say that to God, thank God you are not dead. there's opportunity for you now, wherever you are sitting now, bow down your head and pray. Confess your sins to Christ. Give your life to him, because he has said that no one comes to him and he will reject him. Anyone who comes will be accepted. You'll be given a new life and you'll be a born-again person. So that on that day, when that gathering comes, you'll be part of the gathering.